Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
All right, welcome in everybody to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show. On the AFR Network, thank you for listening to us here. I'm Tim Wildman. Good morning to you on this Tuesday. Joined by Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning to you, sir.
How are you?
You know, I'm doing good.
Are you?
Feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle. You got out of the saddle?
I did late yesterday afternoon. I wasn't feeling too good.
Oh,
I feel
okay.
Good now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, I wasn't here yesterday. Taking care of my bride of 34 years.
34?
Yeah, since 1984.
Yeah, you shouldn't start saying how long you've been married unless you can pull that number just like
that.
I know.
You're right about that. But 34, 1984, whatever that makes it.
Yeah, that's a good thing if you say, I'm not good at math, but I know when.
I know when, 34 years I guess it is. Walker Wellman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning, good to be here also.
Walker,
I've remained in the saddle.
Yes, he's
Walker's a product of that. Walker's a product of that 34 years.
Yes.
Of marriage to his
mother.
And
y'all did good.
Yeah.
All three of your kids are outstanding.
That's when we stopped. Right there. We knew we were 3 for 3. Today.
The odds were against you.
What are the chances of being 4 for 4? We're going to stop right here. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
How are you, sir?
I never got out of the saddle.
Fred's always in the saddle.
I suppose you two are better than me. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we weren't going to say it directly, but.
Fred's a 24/7 saddle man. All right, Walker, how we stand on the Facebook and YouTube and how we just keeping on out there in the virtual world?
Yeah, a lot of ways to keep up with the show. If you're not listening on an FM radio, then you're likely listening online. And a couple ways you can do that, you can do it first on Facebook. You can watch the show on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. You'll find our show page there. Also, you can visit our website, afr.net. And listen on our website on your computer or your phone. And the last way you can listen is to download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone or your tablet. Just go to the App Store, type in AFR, and then you can listen to the app also whenever and wherever.
All right, so take advantage of those different ways to listen to American Family Radio. All right, Fred, what's on tap today?
I've been wondering this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wondering what it's like to work in the White House these days. And does the president, like first in the morning, say, here's what I'm going to say today? Just a little warning.
I tend to doubt that.
You know, or here's what I'm planning. Here's what I'm thinking about doing today.
Planning. That's the operative word there.
Because yesterday, right out of the blue, during the White House press briefing, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders announces to the media, this is what the president is thinking about doing. He's thinking about removing the security clearances for 6 of the former officials of former President Barack Obama. Now, it's quite clear why he's doing that, because he doesn't like these 6 people. Among them, CIA Director John Brennan, former FBI Director Jim Comey. Well, let's have a listen to how Sarah Sanders explained this to the media. Cut one.
Not only is the president looking to take away Brennan's security clearance, he's also looking into the clearances of Comey, Clapper, Hayden, Rice, and McCabe. The president is exploring the mechanisms to remove security clearance because they've politicized and in some cases monetized their public service and security clearances, making baseless accusations of improper contact with Russia or being influenced by Russia against the president is extremely inappropriate. And the fact that people with security clearances are making these baseless charges provides inappropriate legitimacy to accusations with zero evidence.
Well, after that statement, you know, the rest of the hour of the media briefing yesterday was just, what are you doing? You're interfering with their First Amendment rights. These are the reporters.
Yeah.
No, the president has the right to do this.
The First The reporters aren't being banned from anything.
No.
But what are they complaining about?
Well, about these that are going to lose their security clearance.
Lose security clearance is not speech.
That's right. Well, it's not a First Amendment right.
It's not even theirs.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, that's...
Susan Rice is on this list as well.
She's on the list as well.
I would do it if I were him.
I don't see any reason why not. I mean, the fact of the matter is they are now entering into the political arena, being political critics of the president. It used to be, you know, when you left government service, you know, like presidents used to just ride off into the sunset. You wouldn't hear from them. Mm-hmm. They'd have a library. They might write books or something like that. But and same thing with a lot of high profile government people. They would just ride off into the sunset, or they become a lobbyist, you know, and make millions of dollars. But these folks are entering into the political fray, and I don't have a problem with the president saying, well, fine, then you're not going to keep your security clearance, because it does give legitimacy.
Let's have a listen to what some of these six have said about the president in recent weeks. Cut to.
It's almost a badge of honor when the president sees fit to go after individual private citizens.
I think Mr. Trump is not sophisticated enough, unfortunately, to deal with these foreign leaders in a manner that is going to protect U.S. national security interests.
I don't think he's medically unfit to be president. I think he's morally unfit to be president.
There is a bit of autocrat envy in terms of the president's attitude towards the president of the Russian Federation.
He's taken a series of steps that had Vladimir Putin dictated them, he couldn't have mirrored more effectively. What his motivations are, I think, is a legitimate question.
So there you have it. That was Susan Rice, by the way. Yeah. A lot of people didn't pay much attention to that yesterday, but she's on the list.
What do you think,
Walker? If I were the president, Walker, we want to know what you think.
No, go ahead.
I would. If I were the president, those people right there,
mm-hmm.
I would shout them down. Those people are, I don't know what words to use. I mean, James Comey's talking about he's morally unfit. The president's morally unfit. That's, and I don't mean shout them down. Well, I probably would. I'd find where they're eating restaurant. At what restaurant. I probably would find out where they're eating dinner with their wife, and I'd walk up to them, and I would
shame,
like the left does. No, I mean, I'm just, you may have disagreements with the president, and he is, you know, he does bring some of this criticism on himself in terms of he fights back.
Right.
You punch him, he punches you back. That leads to a brawl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas if he didn't punch back, maybe it would go away, or it would just be absorbed into the body politic or whatever. But that kind of stuff right there, to me, if you got that day after 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 day, you would get tired of it. And with President Trump's personality, he pays attention to this stuff. He follows the Twitter world. He watches some of the news. So he pays attention to this stuff, and it gets under his skin. Maybe it shouldn't, but it does. Right. And I don't blame him, because these people is 24/7.
Yeah.
Against him, and everything, he can't do anything right. Everything's wrong. And they're always criticizing. They're always blasting him. They're going after his cabinet. I was teasing about shouting him down at a restaurant, but the left doesn't tease.
Right.
They really do this kind of stuff. And, he's not the kind of personality that's just going to say, oh, well, let water off a duck's back, you know. He's going to say, who? Who said what? When did they say it?
Yeah.
Ban him.
Right.
From having a security clearance. That'll show him.
Yeah.
That's how he fights.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, this may have two implications. And first, the people who they're talking about removing the security clearance, I mean, let's look at the names. Susan Rice, what did she do?
Oh, my word.
Well, she went on cable television and lied about Benghazi. She said it's a video about a guy up in California or out on the West Coast, and it wasn't. The Obama administration knew Benghazi had nothing to do with that video. She went on cable TV and lied on five different occasions.
Can I ask you one question relative to this, Walker? I'm surprised that former workers in the previous administration still have, quote, security clearances.
Well, they have security clearance because they know a lot of information that is not supposed to get out.
Where do they use that security clearance?
Well, I'm not sure it's necessarily used like on a daily basis, but they're still like qualified, or it's more of a qualification.
Yeah, I got a problem with that. Quite frankly, it's kind of like when you leave a job, you shouldn't have access to the computers of that business.
Well, one problem is if they still have security clearance and they still know people who are working in the administration, then those people can share confidential information with people because they can say, well, I have a security clearance. Okay. But the next person is James Clapper. He was under oath in front of Congress, and they said, is the NSA collecting mass bulk Americans' information? And he said, no. And then a year later, he said, well, actually, we are. Hmm. So he lied under oath to Congress. That's James Clapper. John Brennan was there. He started the whole Russia probe. He and Peter Strzok, the intelligence community, and John Brennan went to Harry Reid and said, look, we're investigating President Trump. You know, you need to get this out there to the media. So all these people are
Is he a Muslim?
Yes, he's a Muslim convert.
John Brennan is?
Yes, John Brennan
That's
is a Muslim convert. And he voted for the Communist Party back in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's not – President Trump isn't removing the security clearance just because he doesn't like them. He's removing them for very, very valid reasons.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are in the political fray. And like Walker said, these people should not be getting – should not have security clearance and have access to highly sensitive information – if they're going to be talking heads they should have to get their information on the internet like everybody else does.
Well, I think the timing of this.
Hold on,
is,
Fred, that's a high five.
That is a high five.
That's a high five.
Very good, Ed.
Yeah, go
ahead. I think the timing of this is connected to what happened on the weekend with the release of these FISA court applications, which, as we discussed yesterday, verified the Devin Nunes memo that came out in February about the falsehoods, the information that was used to go to the FISA court. And in that memo, it includes things about John Brennan going to Harry Reid so he can get the information out there about the alleged collusion involving President Trump, about the FBI basically lying to the FISA court about where they got their information. Mm-hmm. The FBI knew all about this. What they were using has their nugget of information to convince the FISA court to spy on Carter Page. They went back three times and they never told the FISA court that it was based on the Steele dossier. So it's not just the president woke up in a mood yesterday morning.
Right. That's a good point, Fred.
This follows the official release of this application information, which verified basically everything Devin Nunes said and was criticized for last February.
Well, and what Democrats are starting to say now is that the FISA court was given more information than just the Steele dossier, to which I say then why didn't they tell the FISA court that at least some of it was coming from the Steele dossier? Why did they withhold that from the FISA court they had other information also?
But Andrew McCabe testified under oath, McCabe and or Comey, that they had no case without the Steele dossier.
Yes.
They could not have gone to the FISA court.
That's the reason why.
Exactly.
No, they were out to get Trump.
Yes.
Sure.
They were all out to get Trump. It was deep state collusion before the election and then after the election. And James Comey protected Hillary Clinton from obvious lawbreaking.
Right.
That was serious. That would have probably... No, it would have put her out of the race for president. Huh?
And I tell you, these people like Brennan, all this cast of characters, they and the left, they are so angry still because they came this close to following 4 years of President Obama with 4 years of Hillary Clinton and running the table and turning us into a socialist nation. That's how close they came.
Yeah.
You know, throwing us into the globalist scheme for one world government, or at least, you know, unified government at this point. They came this close, and some knucklehead from New York stopped the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they hate Donald Trump. And that's why all these people's heads are spinning off, and they're doing whatever they can to try to sink the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm. James Comey, the former FBI director, he's out there saying vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
His wife and daughter, and they're Americans. They can do whatever they want to. They went to the resistance rally the day right. after the inauguration. I mean, he's very partisan.
Yeah, the problem is when they try to act like they're not. They try to cast themselves as some neutral arbiter who's
like
who's
this Strzok guy the other day.
Yeah,
he's not biased.
He's reading all these. He's reading all these texts where he's obviously out to get Trump or stop Trump, and it has disdain for anybody. I can smell the Trump voters, and remember that.
Yeah,
and then he goes, "This is no reflection of my character or my bias toward President Trump. I can
set all that aside.
I can set all that aside." I mean, it's like laugh out loud.
Yeah.
You know, in your face at your.
Yeah, the whole deal with that is that basically, according to the Inspector General and others, he would have to say in a text message, "I don't like candidate Trump, therefore I'm going to open a false investigation into him." Mm-hmm. Like you shouldn't have to say it that explicitly to show that there's bias and it's affecting your decision making. It's like your neighbor saying over and over again, "I don't like you, I don't like you, I don't like you," and then he punches a hole in your tire.
Yeah, then your cat
a week
disappears.
Later, and you can't tell me that those two are not connected.
Yeah,
but they apparently.
By the way, I do want to clean up one little mess because I can hear some people emailing me right now. I was not calling President Trump a knucklehead. I was saying from the progressive left perspective, how in the world this guy defeated Hillary Clinton? That's their attitude is what I'm saying.
The non-politician.
All those people who laughed when Trump announced there's no way that guy's going to become president. So please don't email
me. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. Just 30 more seconds on this. This is why, what we've described here, this is why, when they pound on President Trump every single day, and I'll readily admit sometimes he handles it wrong. Sometimes he contributes to the fray, so to speak. But as I said, you've got to understand, his personality type, and B, which most Americans who voted for him appreciate.
Right.
They want to see a fist back in the nose of the media or the Democrats or the Republican establishment.
Fight back.
Fight back. Republicans rarely fight back. They usually wimp out, So sometimes when you fight back, maybe you make a mistake, or two along the way. I will admit that. But the Democrats, who was it that said the other day, somebody was with it. Oh, it was Brett Hume. He did a great job of explaining this. What the Democrats have done today, and the liberal media too, is they take something President Trump says, and President Trump frequently exaggerates to make a point. A lot of people do that. They exaggerate to make a point, or they say something to make a point, and what the media does is they take it literal, and this is why sometimes maybe President Trump should be a little bit more careful about how he says things, but that's just how he talks. And if you've been around somebody enough, you know what their personality type is, you know how they talk, and you adjust your thinking about them based on that. I'll give you an example. I was listening to Sandy this morning. We can ask her about this. And she was playing the clip from The View. The View the other day, that's when Judge Perino, how do you pronounce her
name?
Judge Jeanine
Pirro
from Fox News, who has a weekend show, which is excellent, in my opinion. And Whoopi Goldberg from The View, they got into it. They got into a shouting match, sort of. Mm-hmm. Well, Whoopi Goldberg says in the clip, do you have that clip, by the way? Brent,
he's looking.
Whoopi Goldberg says to Judge Jeanine, "I just get tired of every day him talking about how Mexicans are rapists and liars." Okay, I'm making a point here, by the way. I know I'm going on with this, Let's just take that for example. This is my example. Brett Hume did a great job the other day of explaining this. All right, in the first place, President Trump doesn't say every day that Mexicans are rapists. That's what she said he says.
Right.
Or does he say weekly? Or does he say monthly? Or does he say annually?
Right.
One time, in a press conference, he was talking about people who come here illegally, and he said Mexico doesn't send us our best, doesn't send us their best. Okay, everybody knew what he was talking about.
Right.
He was talking about the gangs that come in, the drugs that come in, the cartels, the crime, the people who are coming here poor and ignorant. No job skills. I'm not devaluing them by any means as human beings. God cares about them as much as he cares about us or anybody else in the world. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, so that was a truthful statement by President Trump. And he went on to say, do you remember President Trump saying that there's a lot of good people, I'm sure?
Right.
Okay. Most Americans knew what he was talking about there. He was not saying that all Mexicans are rapists and liars and terrorists and drug dealers.
Right.
But the left said that's what he said.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
That's what Whoopi Goldberg was saying to Judge Jeanine. He was saying, I get tired of every day him saying that Mexicans, if you can find that, it was on Sandy's show this morning, Mexicans are rapists and liars. Mm-hmm. So you see how that plays out? And if you're President Trump and his administration, you're going, we didn't say that. And that you know that isn't what we meant. Yet you try to turn people against us based on a lie. Now, could President Trump have said things a little bit more articulately? See, I can't even say articulately, but you get my point.
Yeah.
You got it? Okay, what you're about to hear here is Sandy played this morning on her show. This is just one example of what we're talking about here. Play it.
You want to talk about Donald Trump? You tell me what metric in this country is worse off. Unemployment is lower than it's been in 50 years. Minorities, Hispanics, African Americans have jobs.
Hate crimes are worse off.
And wait a minute. The GDP under Obama was barely one. We're going up to four. So you want to talk about hate crime?
I'll tell you about a metric.
I fought for a law for hate crime.
I also think it's important, as we said, 89% of the Republican Party still supports him. He still has huge popularity in the country. And if Democrats don't get their you-know-what together, he's certainly going to get reelected.
Here's my question for you because you talk about
I am not, Judge.
Did you just point at me?
Yes.
Listen, I don't have Trump derangement. Let me tell you what I have.
Okay.
I have a lot of, I'm tired of people starting a conversation with Mexicans or liars and rapists. I'm tired of people starting a conversation about this country. Listen, I'm 62 years old. There have been a lot of people in office that I didn't agree with, but I have never, ever seen anything like this. I've never seen anybody whip up such hate. I've never seen anybody be so dismissive. And
see what I'm talking about right there?
Yeah.
Do you see the crowd? Mm-hmm. Of course, they're all lefties anyway. Right. They're in the View audience.
It's like Bill Maher and them. They have their crowd filled with munchkins.
Okay, you know, but what she's saying is she doesn't have to give any evidence for it.
Right.
Nope.
Huh?
And accuses him of whipping up hate.
Yeah.
She's the one.
Exactly.
She's the one.
But she's on ABC.
Yeah.
So she can say whatever she wants.
Right. And she said hateful things against Christians, right? Or at least some, I think she has in the past, or pro-lifers or something.
I'm talking about
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. I don't remember.
No, I think, I it seems to me I can recall that in the not
Was she talking about
future.
Jeff Sessions? She talking about No, that was Joy Behar.
Joy Behar.
Yeah. Anybody who believes in Jesus is mentally deranged.
Mike Pence.
Huh?
That's what it was. It was about Pence.
Didn't she say that anyone who hears from
She was talking about Mike Pence, who was during prayer, God speaking.
Okay,
to me.
She really said that. Okay. What
and
if
she
I
apologized?
She hates all Christians. I'm tired every day of getting up and starting a conversation with Christians who hear from Jesus or
mentally
deranged. All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Our first calling as followers of the way, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the ministry of our home. If we're husbands, our first ministerial obligation are our wives. If we're wives, our first ministerial obligations are our husbands.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I'm reading through the Old Testament now, and I'm coming to places that are named that I see on our Israel tour every March. It's really fascinating to think that Jericho existed way back in the Old Testament thousands of years ago, and I can visit there today. The same can be said for Jerusalem. The Bible literally comes to life when you visit Israel, the Holy Land. Now, we're going in March. My wife, Allison, and I, we lead these tours every March. So if you would like to go with us, you need to go to the website and check it out. It's twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Just about every major news organization reported on Khalil Cavill, a black waiter at the Saltgrass Steakhouse in Odessa, Texas. Mr. Cavill claimed a diner stiffed him on a tip, left behind a racist message. As you might imagine, there was lots of outrage, rightfully so. The customer was banned from the restaurant. Mr. Cavill was inundated with money and well wishes. But it turns out the story is not true. Mr. Cavill lied. The owner of the steakhouse apologized to the banned customer, and Mr. Cavill, well, he's now unemployed. More often than not, these kinds of stories turn out not to be true. So why does the mainstream media continually get snookered? Well, maybe it's the rush to be first, or it could be something as simple as carelessness. Reporters do make mistakes, or it could be something more sinister, like advancing a false narrative to fan the flames of racial unrest. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Whoopi Goldberg is tired of, what does she say? She's tired every morning, every conversation beginning?
Whipping up hatred and...
President Trump's whipping up hatred.
Yes.
That's what he does, according to Whoopi Goldberg, and the audience just went crazy.
Yeah, because that show doesn't whip up hatred, does it?
Meanwhile, my she's goodness. Yelling at her guest on the panel.
Yeah. All right. I think, you know, these people, they, you know, I don't know if she, did she mention about Madonna wanting to bomb the White House? Was it burn it down?
Every day. You know Tim? I am tired of every day people saying they want to blow up the White House.
Every day.
Every
we're whipping up hate.
Every conversation.
Yeah, about blowing up the White House.
Blowing up the White House.
Yeah. And you know, I agree with you, Ed. I'm tired of every day that happening. Of course, we were giving you an example just a moment ago, a few minutes ago, how the left in this country, they like to demonize, even though they don't believe in demons, they like to demonize President Trump every single day, all day. Every day.
Right.
And it's just, it's created a very toxic environment out there. President Trump, again, sometimes says things maybe he could have said better, but most people know what he meant, but the left takes something he says in a way that's exaggerated, perhaps, and they intentionally literalize his words. And then they say, this is what this man believes. and so it leads to the, you know, they think he's for Nazis.
Right.
The left thinks that he is. No, they literally do. Charlottesville, he said there's good people on both sides and bad people on both sides. Didn't he say something to that effect?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, probably not the best choice of words right there in that right. situation. What he was talking about was there were some people who were showing up at that monument, that Confederate monument, who were just supportive of a monument not being removed. And they were rallying peacefully, and they had a permit. Okay?
Yeah.
So this Antifa-type group comes and confronts them. They get into a big, ugly fight. We all saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And President Trump's, because he said there are, I think he said there are bad people.
Because there were white supremacists.
He said there are good people.
There were.
Sides. Yeah, and so everyone assumed he was talking about white supremacists being good.
Yeah. No. Well, they intentionally did.
Yes,
The media intentionally didn't say, well, he could have meant this because these people were here too with their families, support of the monument being left in the park.
Right.
There was no room for that. If President Trump said there were good people on both sides or whatever, President Trump is saying there are good Nazis. And that's the narrative they went with, just like Whoopi Goldberg did a while ago.
Interpreted in the worst possible way. Just like we had, I think, Drew McKittrick on. This goes back a year or so ago. Remember there was a letter written by some evangelicals? And in the letter it said there were three white supremacists in the Trump administration. Right. And we asked him on the air to name them.
And he wouldn't. No.
He said, well, you can just look it up. I said, you put that in your letter. You signed it, sir. You tell us who you meant.
Right.
Well, you can just look it up. But interprets in the worst
possible
way.
Was Russell Moore's name on that?
Yes.
I think that was, because it was kind of the usual suspects on the left of the evangelical.
Okay. So there they go. They're participating in that, too.
Is it Drew McKissick?
Yeah.
I think that was the McKissick.
All right, Fred, you got another story for us?
Yeah, let's talk about one of those leftist Democrats.
Go. Are there any different? Are there any other kind, Fred?
Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York issued pardons yesterday for seven immigrants who were facing deportation because they've been committing crimes in that state. And he used the opportunity of announcing these pardons to go at President Trump. Listen to what Andrew Cuomo had to say, followed by this morning. Columnist Ben Shapiro was asked to respond to what you're going to hear Andrew Cuomo say.
This administration is on crusade against people who they do not consider original Americans. What they've done at the border is an example of it. What they've done in Puerto Rico. And they are on a jihad to deport as many people as they can who they believe are not in the United States legally.
First of all, I mean, why isn't anyone accusing Andrew Cuomo of Islamophobia? I thought the jihad only meant internal struggle, so there's that. Also, when he says that, you know, President Trump is waging war against illegal immigrants, I'm old enough to remember when the Obama administration was bragging that they had increased the number of deportations. Now, they were lying about that because what they actually were doing was just turning more people away at the border. But the fact is that strictness when it comes to our border enforcement is actually a pretty popular policy among most Americans.
There you have it, Andrew Cuomo. And this is the seven he announced yesterday is in addition to others. So what he's doing is giving pardons to these individuals who committed crimes in New York, that some of them have been in prison for it. And because they were facing deportation, he does this pardon so that he can keep them in the country.
What is he blaming the Trump administration for in Puerto Rico?
Well, I guess because, remember, the accusation has been made by Democrats that the president hasn't been helping Puerto Rico to the degree he helped Texas in the wake of the hurricanes.
Okay.
This guy has a Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
We sent billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars.
Right. Yes.
And I don't believe Puerto Ricans contribute to our federal income tax, do they?
No.
And so we did help Puerto
Cuomo
Rico.
Cuomo was also the one who said pro-lifers and
are not welcome in
New York.
Right. Yeah.
He's a very tolerant man.
Yeah. or Chick-fil-A.
Yes, true. No Chick-fil-A. He didn't want Chick-fil-A.
Guys, he's whacked. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And Sandy Rios joins us. Sandy Rios is host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio.
Oddly enough.
Weekday mornings. And she's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. Our ministry here, our parent ministry, joins us most Tuesdays that she's available. Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Could I give you guys two quick facts? I was just listening to your conversation that I think you'll find interesting. The Washington Post just did an article on what's happening in Puerto Rico. And this is from memory, so I might have the numbers, but I think it was $100 million alone was sent. I'd have been $10 million. Again, I can't remember, but it was to rebuild their electrical grid and their electrical infrastructure. Well, so far to this date, they've gone through something like they're fighting, and they cannot decide who's going to lead this effort. They've gone through, I think they're on their fourth or fifth CEO because they wanted to pay one of the CEOs $750,000. So they're arguing among themselves, and the money's sitting there, and nothing has been done since it's been sent. So that's the story with Puerto Rico.
That was in the Washington Post?
Yes, I know. Wasn't that something?
Okay.
I just came across. I was amazed. And the other fact that you talked about Charlottesville, and I wanted to remind you guys that Jason Kessler was the name of the guy that organized the so-called white supremacist group. I forgot what it was called. But Jason Kessler was with Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm just so that whole thing was theater. That I'm not saying there weren't some bad characters there. Just like you were making the point that there were some good characters there, but we were being messed with in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also the police there in Charlottesville stood down when they were supposed to be dividing the groups. This is what I remember, if I recall right. They didn't, and it caused a physical confrontation between the groups.
Right, exactly.
When the first group had a permit to be there for a rally or a parade. Now, again, as we had said, there were some white supremacists mixed in to the people there who were there to rally for the permit was given to rally for the statue being left alone in the park. So if those people had come.
But the police didn't enforce the permit restrictions.
Right.
Because the Antifa came without a permit.
Right.
And started the fight.
Right.
And so why get a permit? The law enforcement did not act.
And so when President Trump says there's bad people on both sides or good people on both sides or whatever he says, that's what he's talking about. But there's no room for any kind of discussion like that. Yeah, I remember the Antifa guy having a blowtorch going after people.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
Remember that picture?
Yeah. Looked like a flamethrower.
Okay, well, isn't that a bad... Would you call something that's a bad person?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think you would call that a bad person. Anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, you wanted to ask Sandy about something?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask what you thought about the decision by the Trump administration yesterday to remove those security clearances. What are you hearing?
Well, Fred, first of all, could I say how wonderful it is for me to hear your voice? This is the first time I've talked to you since you came back to work, and I just want people to know how valuable you are to AFR Talk and to me personally. So I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate
now, let's see. You asked me a question. What do I think about it? Well, when I started writing out the names, just trying to remember so I could talk about it on the radio this morning, John Brennan and, you're going to have to help me because...
Jim Comey.
Jim Comey Clapper. And James Clapper. Let's just use those three. I started to fill in their titles, James Clapper, CIA... John Brennan, CIA director, James Clapper, director of national intelligence... Susan Rice, she's the national, in the White House, she was head of national intelligence. And then James Comey, head of the FBI. So the CIA director, director of national defense, the national security director in the White House, all of them using the information they had access to, their national security clearances, to destroy the entire American system, the constitutional system. I think that the way it's being reported, I saw it on The Five last night, I was pretty disgusted, to be honest with you, because they made it all about that they didn't like Trump and they said bad things about Trump, and here's what they said. Well, it's bad, yes, the things they've said. It is so much greater than that. This is a breach of trust for Americans. They had our trust, our sacred trust. They have constitutionally directed jobs to do to protect this country, and they violated our trust. They do not deserve security clearance. I view this as much more than a gotcha by Donald Trump. That's ridiculous to reduce it to that. This is the way it should be on behalf of the American people.
Yeah, also, I was saying earlier that I believe this announcement was in connection with the revelation on the weekend when the Justice Department finally gave up the application to the FISA court, and some of these people who were named who lost their security clearance were responsible for going to the FISA court but not telling the FISA court that the evidence that they had was based on a Democrat document, the Steele dossier.
Well, it's that is the most intriguing story, Fred. And certainly we know that John Brennan was, maybe if you had to line the culprits up in pecking order, John Brennan would have been the worst. He's the one that manufactured a way to get that out into the public. He ended up feeding it to CNN, and they're the ones that first reported it, knowing all the while that it was a piece of trash. And that's the head of the CIA at that time. Now, James Clapper did what he could to help, too. And then, of course, it's the FBI under James. It was James Comey and the FBI then that were responsible to go into the FISA court. And what they did, you guys, the FBI's FISA, the FISA court is top secret. Nobody knows where it is. And before this, nobody knew who the judges were. They rotate from around the country. And when the FBI agent who goes into that court delivers that evidence, he certifies after having the attorney general or some official of that magnitude, or the FBI director, and maybe even both of them, that it's absolutely true. The agent who presents it to the FISA judge, you know, signs his name too. And you probably heard me say that that was my husband's job in D.C. He was the attorney that went into the FISA court. And he would tell you that they were so particular, this isn't after 9/11, so particular about details that one time there was this huge report filled with details, and he was told he had to go back and get the color of the car that was mentioned. They had the make and the model, but not the color. And this is in a huge report. That's how much attention they gave to detail. It's a serious thing to go into the FISA court. It's a different kind of court. And so it's such an abuse of the regulations, and again, a violation of trust, outrageous, to present a tabloid report on a candidate for president to try to destroy him and to help his opponent, Hillary Clinton. It's just outrageous. And so that, yeah.
Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, Sandy, we talked about this earlier, and to give us a little, I know you talked about this on your show some, but whether John Brennan is a convert to Islam or not, I know there's speculation there, but just give us an idea of why people would be led to believe that.
Well, he was stationed in Saudi Arabia for some time, and some people have told me personally that that he converted to Islam. But that's not anything on record, and nobody, you know, I don't think you'll Google it and find it. Well, you might in some of the outlets. But the one thing we do know that he voted for the Communist Party presidential candidate in either 1976 or 1980. And I can tell you, he wasn't a kid then. You just do the numbers. Mm-hmm. He was a lot younger, but he wasn't a kid. And at that time, if some are not old enough to remember this, but some of us are, that in 1976 and 1980, we were still in the middle of the Cold War. And Russia was our great enemy. And there was no doubt about that. And so it was a very big deal. If an American voted for a Communist Party candidate, that was just, I think, if we'd had a neighbor who had, our eyebrows would have gone shot way to the sky. We probably would have called the FBI. So that's John Brennan. We know that about him for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sandy, what do you see going on with this Russia investigation, et cetera? Do you see it ever ending? You think Trump's going to intervene? Where do you think this is going to end up?
Well, I'm just hearing a lot of different things. A couple of things yesterday indicated, in fact, CNN also, that they see signs of Bob Mueller winding down his investigations, winding down his whole operation. Another article talked about how he's farming out all the prosecution, like he's making fanfare about delivering these indictments, but he's handing them off. And when it's actually his job to see these things through in court. And so why is he, the question was, why is he doing this? Why is he divesting himself of the things that he's bringing to the fore? Like the Russian, the big fanfare about the Russian intelligence agents who allegedly, according to the FBI, which, you know, who can trust them anymore? But anyway, that they believe that the FBI intelligence, I mean, Russian intelligence agents were the ones who hacked the DNC email server. So he has passed that off to a Justice Department department. I forgot the name of the department, but people tell me that that's like a death sentence. And secondly, the Justice Department doesn't indict people that will never come to American soil, mm-hmm. never be tried. They don't waste their time with that. That was nothing but a show. So the point is, and also proof that there's probably just nothing there, nothing about collusion. So he'll probably try to, Paul Manafort's trial is coming up soon. It's supposed to start next, I think August the 6th or 7th, but it's been delayed. I'm not sure when it, no, July 28th, I think it was. So it's been postponed slightly. And when Manafort is tried, I think they'll do everything they can to get a conviction just to prove that they were worth some, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that American taxpayers paid for those 13 Hillary Clinton partisans that worked for him.
Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Sandy Rios joining us.
Hey, now, we do need to make sure. Now, I have not heard that these security clearances have already been revoked. He's
simply considering
mm-hmm. revoking these. So we want to make sure that that's clear to all.
And he named his all-star team.
Yes, his all-star team. That's right.
He's gonna potentially...
These are worthy of the revocation of security clearance.
You know, I just want to go back to something Sandy took us through about John Brennan voting for the Communist Party in 76.
76 or 80.
And 80.
For the presidential candidate.
For the presidential candidate. And he becomes CIA director under Barack Obama. Stop and think about this for a minute, folks.
Mm-hmm. That should be that would have normally been disqualifying.
Normally.
Right. Unless you have socialist leanings.
Right.
Wow.
And I'm tired of every day these communists being director of the CIA.
Right.
Every day.
If you missed the show today, the first 50 minutes of this show, you're missing Ed's joke.
Yeah. Whoopi Vitagliano.
Whoopi. We're talking about Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
That President Trump every day calls Mexicans rapists and liars.
Right.
Every day.
Right. Every day. And whips up hate.
And whips, yes. So I was just tongue-in-cheek, in love, mocking Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
I don't wish her any harm.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Just see where this fellow went into a Planet Fitness naked. And
well, I didn't see it, but I did read about it.
Well, Ed, I think you knew what I meant right there.
But I thought I'd put it in the worst possible light.
I know, you did. So this guy goes in Planet Fitness. I don't know where was it.
I'm not sure.
He goes in a Planet Fitness with.
I'll see if I can find it.
A exercise facility, and they're nationwide. They may even be in Canada as well. And so he goes in, and then he pulls off. I guess he checks in, goes in, pulls off his clothes, so he start exercising. Find him a couple of machines to work out on. He went to the yoga mat, I think.
Well, here's the big surprise.
Yeah, what's the big surprise, Ed?
This was in Massachusetts.
Oh, was it now? Now he said the Planet Fitness calls the cops.
I'm sorry, he's the guy's Eric Stagno's from Massachusetts. He was in a New Hampshire gym.
Oh, yeah.
So.
He's
so
from Massachusetts, but he's in New Hampshire.
Then I've told you, those Massachusetts people came across
the
border to New Hampshire and
New
ruined
Hampshire
the state.
Up. Right.
This is a perfect example.
So the guy goes
it.
In there, so he's exercising nude.
Yes.
And they call the police. I guess the police come and do they arrest him?
Well, you hear what his defense is.
Go ahead.
Because the theme of Planet Fitness is judgment free zone.
Yes, and they have signs up.
They have signs up. Judgment free zone.
That's their slogan.
So he decided to test that.
Now here in his defense, okay.
And who, the naked man?
Yeah, the naked man. he was self-identifying as a guy with clothes. So I'm just saying that's just kind of the way our
No, he culture. Said, he said, I thought this was a judgment-free zone.
Yeah, he did.
So I decided I wanted to exercise, you know, in my birthday suit, and you people don't like it. And I don't understand why you're
right.
judging
you're
me.
Judging me.
You're judging
no,
me.
If we're going to draw something from this, it's exactly what you said. There
I wouldn't
is
draw
no,
this, Walker, there, but go ahead.
Draw something.
I think you understood exactly
from
what
from it. There's no such thing as a judgment-free zone. Despite the left, they want these safe zones. There's no such thing. Everywhere you go, there is judgment.
Yes.
Right. You've got to stand in line at the grocery store because one at a time you go through.
And you can't cut in line.
Yeah, everybody has rules. If not, well, there's anarchy. So there's judgment everywhere. So there's no such thing as a judgment-free zone. What they mean there is this is a leftist safe place where men can go in women's restrooms and women can go in men's restrooms. But,
is that what they're talking about?
Yeah, but it's a judgment-free zone.
Usually it means gay. It's talking about gays.
Right. Well, usually, and also,
usually when people are homosexuals, usually when people say don't judge, or either people who are promiscuous. You ever notice
but
that?
But I think what Ed's getting to is...
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Also,
go ahead.
They're also, they don't judge you if you're overweight or
right.
you can't do a bunch of, you know,
well, you
weightlifting.
You judge yourself. That's why you're there.
But listen, if they call it a judgment-free zone and you try to judge somebody, they'll say, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're a judgment-free zone. I'm going to judge what you're doing as being judgment.
See, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Oh, I just love to mock
but,
the left.
But the Planet Fitness, their slogan acts like there are gyms that say, nah, you're a little too big. Got to get out of here. No, if you pay money for a membership, you don't even have to go.
Excuse me, sir. Fat people work out in the back.
Yeah.
You're a second-class citizen. Yeah.
We don't want you in front with the glass.
Right.
People
you're
walking.
Not a good advertiser for our facility.
Only beautiful you're, people.
We want the naked man up here running around. That's a good advertisement for us.
Yeah.
But the guy goes, so he does get arrested, and he's claiming, hey, well, I thought this was a...
He stripped down right in front of everybody. He didn't go into the locker room.
Yeah, then he went
it.
Over the yoga mat, didn't he?
The yoga mat.
The yoga mat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm shocked at these prudes.
Yes.
Who are, I guess, evidently members of Planet Fitness who have a problem with this.
The human body is, in most cases, is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and that's right. And so these probably...
Not always.
Probably these religious prudes ran him out, you know, called the cops on him instead of being tolerant. And, you know, and instead of letting the man express himself, you know, on the yoga mat. So we should, anyway, it's a judgment-free zone unless you're running around in your birthday suit, in which case you will be judged. Right, Fred?
There you go.
And by the way, this guy, but this is from USA Today. The story we got from witnesses was, this is from the police, that the guy walked in, stripped down right there in front, left the clothes and belongings at the front desk. Now, you're getting minimum wage. You're there to answer phones and answer questions, and you're going, this is my summer job.
Right.
This guy hands me his clothes. I'm going, dude, you're naked.
You know that person's thinking, is this happening? Is this really happening to me?
Am I really just getting $10
an hour
for this?
But, you know, the guy must sound like he's fairly sane if he's going to hand the clothes. Hey,
34 years old.
Would you put these in my cubicle?
So
I get through exercises. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right, Fred.
All right.
Appreciate it.
We covered it all.
All right.
Pretty much.
Or uncovered it all.
For the record, I don't think the Bible says anything about the last 10 minutes of this show. Does the Bible, or does it judge a man for running around?
You mean is naked? Against the Bible?
That would be any KKID.
That's right. I don't know if being naked is against the Bible in some circumstances, but not at Planet Fitness.
Ed is a man from New England mocking Southerners about being any KKID. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes, and we'll reset this whole show.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.